Well, this morning we're visiting with Erica Catton. She's a spokesperson for Narconon Arrowhead Agency. We're going to talk a little bit about underage drinking. Erica, good morning.
Good morning.
It's never a bad time to talk about underage drinking, but as we start to get to this time of the year, it seems like that kind of picks up a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. This time of the year is one of the biggest years for underage drinking and drinking and driving, too.
You know, when we talk about the most widely used drug by the youth, I guess probably alcohol is not one we normally have popped to the top of our heads.
You know, it is, and I would have thought marijuana or prescription drugs, but it is alcohol.
Yeah, and is it just the ease, the accessibility of it?
I think what happens a lot of the time is, you know, when kids are younger, I think alcohol is really accessible, and they start drinking it. And, I mean, right now there's about 10 million kids ages 12 through 20 who use it on a monthly basis. So I think it's available, and I think it's really accepted for people to drink underage.
And when we say underage, sometimes we mean very underage. The average age that a child first tries alcohol is what?
11 years old.
And that's a little shocking.
It's really shocking. I thought maybe it was 13 or 14, and when I saw 11, I was like, I couldn't believe it.
Even 13 or 14 sounds a little bit young, but, you know, a lot of us probably have a little bit of that kind of stuff in our past. You know, we all have stories of growing up, and we all wanted to push the envelope a little bit, but in some cases, it was just innocent stuff. It turns into something bad fairly rapidly, doesn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, what happens is, you know, a kid or a teenager, they have some kind of a problem in life, and it could be as simple as boredom, or it could be something like a major loss or a death, and they start drinking. And the next thing you know, they're drinking more and more, or they turn to drugs. And I think that's part of why we have so many people that are addicted right now.
Are there common signs that folks should look for youngsters like that who are probably inexperienced, you know, on the grand scheme of things, but have started maybe into alcohol?
Absolutely. I mean, what you're going to see is a change in attitude, a change in eating and sleeping habits. Also, you know, your child may say things like that promote alcohol or support it, or that they think that drinking is good or cool or accepted. And the best thing for a parent to do is to speak with a child at a young enough age where they understand, but old enough so that, you know, they can actually, like, get that alcohol is something that is not, you know, acceptable or should be done underage, and just the consequences of the use.
You know, Erica, when you talk about things like a change in attitude, the change in their character maybe a little bit, or their sleeping habits or whatever, you know, sometimes we mistake that for just being a teenager.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And the other thing that you'll see, though, is kids, they do communicate, and you may see them hanging out with other kids that are drinking, or, you know, watching movies or seeing things or saying things that do support alcohol use, and you have to be really aware of that as a parent.
But isn't it, I mean, as parents and adults, do we sometimes kind of turn maybe a more compassionate eye toward that, figuring, oh, it's just alcohol, it's not like they're into hard drugs or anything?
It happens all the time. I mean, parents say, oh, I remember when I was younger and, you know, I used to do this, or it's very normal for kids to experiment. But, you know, some of the statistics I just read is young people who drink are 50 times more likely to use cocaine, and 22 times more likely to use marijuana. And two-thirds of kids who start drinking by 15 end up on illegal drugs. So you have to remember those types of things as a parent.
So what you're really saying is alcohol is a gateway drug to other things.
I mean, statistically, absolutely it is.
And that should that be something that we should always be thinking about as adults? Because, like I said, sometimes we look at it and we just think, oh, it's just alcohol, it's okay, it's not that big a deal, at least they're not ruining their lives. But they might, and if they're behind the wheel of a car, they might ruin someone else's life.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, right now, basically 2,000 kids every year between 16 and 20 die in alcohol-related crashes. So that is something that can happen. That doesn't even account for the injuries and the ER visits and the alcohol poisoning problems and the binge drinking issues that happen with kids that drink.
But people keep doing it, Erica. They see those. They know the statistics. They see those. They might even know someone who's been involved in that. But yet they keep going back to that. Why? Is it a chemical thing?
I think it's a chemical thing. I think it's a promotional thing. I think it's really accepted in society to not only use alcohol but to use certain drugs. And I think the more that we can get the message out there about not using drugs and not drinking, the better off we'll be. And just, you know, community leaders can do it, and parents and families, and you have to make it a topic. You have to bring it up. You have to communicate about it.
Yeah, but there's peer pressure there too, you know. I mean, gee whiz, you don't want to be the nerd that doesn't go out and party with everybody else, right?
Well, one of the things that can be done, and this is a really good thing for parents and kids to do together, is the parents can actually sit the kids down and practice ways to say no to drinking. They can set up scenarios and they can help them to communicate about it so that when it does come up, the kid is ready, and so he doesn't like feel pressure and he actually is able to handle it.
Mm-hmm. What if their child has already started drinking and they're made aware of that? Is there a good way to go about having that discussion at that point where maybe you can stop that?
Sure. I mean, the best thing to do is not make the child totally wrong for doing it, but just say, look, I know this is going on. We love you. We care about you. This is why you shouldn't do it. Here are the consequences. Here are some of the things that happened. The other thing is that, you know, they'll do one of two things. Usually they'll stop drinking at that point, or they won't. If they won't, as a parent, you have to continue to try to get them help. The worst thing that you can do is ignore the problem or feel like it can't get handled, because what will occur is they'll drink more, they'll end up on drugs, and then, you know, when they're 21 or 25 or 30, you're going to have a lot bigger of a problem on your hands.
But as adults now, we talk oftentimes about social drinking. How many drinks do you have in a week? You know, are you just a social drinker once in a while, or are you actually an alcoholic where you just crave and have to have it all the time? How do you deal, though, with a teenager who maybe is like dabbling in it a little bit? Maybe they'll have a drink or something when they're out with some friends like they shouldn't be, but it's not to the point of alcoholism or anything. How do you deal with that? You don't necessarily need to call a facility, do you?
Not necessarily, but, you know, what you probably want to do is speak with them about drinking and driving, about why the legal drinking age is 21. And, you know, if it continues, you may have to communicate about it a little bit more, or do a little bit more about it. But to start with, you just have to kind of try to reason with your child and hope that they make good decisions and keep your eye on it.
Yeah, that's probably got to be one of the hardest things for parents, is if they suspect or possibly they've noticed that there's been some drinking going on, how do they know if it's just something that they might consider relatively innocent that we can deal with, or if it's something that's really leading to a problem?
I mean, if there's a real problem, you're going to see things. I mean, the person's life is going to be consumed with getting alcohol and drinking alcohol. Their grades may slip. They may not be able to hold on to money or hold a job. You're going to see indicators that show that they are struggling with alcohol abuse. The key is to, you know, when you first find out about it, to handle it then, and to continue to communicate about it and continue to do things to handle it so it doesn't get to that point.
Mm-hmm. What if it does get to that point?
Well, then you have to go into treatment. You have to find them a treatment facility and get them some help that way. And, you know, I definitely recommend if someone has a really, like, you know, severe drinking problem, they need residential long-term treatment.
You see that every day at your facility, don't you?
Absolutely.
What's it like for those, especially youngsters, the teenagers? You know, sometimes it's difficult for them to make the decision that I need to change. They need outside forces. How is that dealt with?
I mean, most families will just continue to, you know, talk to the person until they agree to get help. They will hire intervention services and they won't give up, and that's the right thing to do. There are families who will let it go. And, you know, I can tell you from my personal experience, I recently lost a loved one just last week to substance abuse. And what ended up happening was that the parents, they let it go. They didn't force the person to get help. They kind of hoped that, you know, she would get better, but there wasn't something where there was an ultimatum or tough love of you have to get help, or we're not going to give you a place to live, or we're not going to give you money. And when you have an addict, you have to do that, because 90% of people who are addicted, they're not going to go into treatment. They're not going to want help, and it's up to the family to get them into a treatment program.
And in some cases, they want help, but they'll never ask for it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they may be embarrassed. They may still want to use drugs or alcohol, and they're so confused, and the addiction has taken over their life to such a degree that they're really unable to get themselves any help, and someone else has to step in and intervene.
And that's one of the hard things sometimes for folks to realize, is that when people start using, whether it's alcohol or drugs, at first it's a choice, but later on it becomes an addiction, and then you really stop making the choice. It's choosing for you.
Absolutely. You don't have control of it anymore, and that's why family intervention is so important.
Absolutely. And the family support, you know, sometimes it's a matter of, you need to just make them understand just how much you do actually care. The teenagers, especially if you talk about underage drinking, it's a tough time to be a teenager, and it's always, that's a tough time to be young, and it's also a tough time to be a parent of a teenager. It's a difficult period to go through on both sides. Sometimes the teenagers just need to know and be reassured that there is someone out there that really does care for you and is looking out for you.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, it's something really good for a parent to just keep a really tight and good communication line with your teenager, even though that can be tough sometimes. You know, just finding something they like, doing things together, spending time together, that really opens things up. So if there is a problem, that your teen does communicate with you.
Absolutely. Well, and if there is a problem or if there are some issues that do need to be dealt with, there are always programs out there, Narconon being one of those.
There is, and anyone can contact us at Narconon. We have a toll-free hotline. We're open 7 days a week. The number is 1-800-468-6933. You can find us on the internet at Stop Addiction, or you can find us on Facebook at Narconon Arrowhead.
Made it very easy to find more help. And just because you make the call or make the click doesn't necessarily mean you are committed to doing anything except finding out more information by some counselors who very likely have been through these same types of situations.
Yeah, definitely.
Very good. Well, Erica, thank you so much for your time and the information. Always important stuff for us to understand as we continue to fight that battle. Good luck down the road.
Okay, thank you.